God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Aru! The dog poet is back. Sorry about last week. We ran into some technical difficulties, and a few of them were metaphysical. Some physical and some of the neurological kind, meaning wiring and connections and such. But we're here now, and we hope that will do. We're hovering in the saucer pod over Haiti this evening and watching America send in the troops and refuse landing permission for airplanes with aid. It may be all they know how to do anymore. If there's a plumbing problem in the White House, they send in the troops. If there's a skateboarder in the mall, they send in the troops. And if someone complains about all those kiosks selling products made in the occupied territories, they send in the troops. That's what they did in Katrina. They didn't do anything else. They just sent in the troops. And, of course, the private mercenaries, because they'll do things that even the troops won't do. Don't quote me on that, because I don't know what anyone is capable of anymore. Well, the same person is in the White House now that was there during Katrina. All the presidents, senators, and Congress creatures are replicants who look different for the sake of appearance, a variety, and progress. But there is no variety and there is no progress unless you consider progress to be a consistent march in the wrong direction. I'm not concerning myself with good guys and bad guys anymore, as I was at pains to explain at today's Smoking Mirrors. It does little good to rail against the injustice because it just marches on. What I now believe is that it is marching toward justice, no matter what direction it takes, no matter how scary it looks or how powerfully it presents itself. It is marching toward that cosmic denouement where it meets its opposite and resolves itself. I won't say that I can't see the injustice, but I will say that it's out of my hands, and it has always been out of my hands, and that all things work toward good regardless of intention of the players strutting and fretting their hour upon the stage. Their doom arises all around them. And it is that inevitable which they seek. They just want to know if God is real, and doing bad things is their way of provoking God into action. They figure if God doesn't show up, then there must not be anything wrong with what they're doing, no matter what it is. They're being advised and assisted by entities they believe they have employed for this purpose. Some of them are not what they seem. Some of them are angels in disguise who are leading them to a dreadful epiphany. It is permissible to pity them, but that is the only way they can learn. They seem incapable of learning any other way. It's not like they aren't familiar with the unpredictable aspects of history. These men and women have all been to the finest schools. They've heard the stories, but they also know that evil can prosper for a good long time before the balance shifts, and they think it won't happen in their time. That's what all of them think. It's like that tale in the Mahabharata, where one of the Pandava brothers ran into a stork, I think it was, who was the personification of Dharma, and he asked him what life's greatest mystery was. The brother didn't know. The answer was that you see men dying all around you and do not think that you yourself will die. I might not be 100% accurate here, but close enough for radio. It's been a while since I read it. There are, of course, a lot of parallels. One might consider all of those engaged in criminal behavior who see their kind being jailed or otherwise attended to, but do not think it will happen to them. Anyway, they know all kinds of criminals who didn't get caught, or so they think. The Avatar is coming. I'm not talking about the movie. The Avatar is coming and bringing massive change and a new teaching, new understandings about eternal truths and the manner in which one should live their lives. He's going to confer many blessings and offer forgiveness to those who might be inclined to take it. There are those unfortunates who will not be inclined to take it. Perhaps they cannot see who is offering it, or there's something wrong with their wiring. He's going to punish them after he's conferred his blessings and granted what forgiveness he is inclined to grant. I don't know the hour of the day. I know it's in process and it won't be 100 years down the road. Honestly, I don't even know that. But my impression is that it's actually closer than one might think. The signs are all around us and have been for a while. Those signs will, of course, become more dramatic. There's also the internal awareness that some of us have that some very strange things are going on, inside more so even than outside. When the Avatar comes, he precipitates down through the plains from the high heaven where he originated, or maybe was just residing for a while. He moves down through the other kingdoms, through the upper astral, and so on and so forth, down into the mind and the heart of the willing and unwilling alike, traversing the ethers and pushing everything before him. This is how he cleans house, because that which inspires the evil in the hearts and minds of the wicked does not reside only on the material plane and is not, well, all of it is not in a physically embodied state. Think of him as a cleansing agent that cleans from the inside out. This may, in parts, be painful to some degree for all of us because we must relinquish things we have misinterpreted as desirable. For all of us, misinterpret things on a pretty regular basis, at least I do. But you know, I'm getting better. I'm working on it. We have to let go of everything that lies between the Avatar and our ability to merge with him. To the degree that one lets go altogether, to that degree it becomes more of a cakewalk and an enjoyable ride. There's some good news, though. The discomfort that many of us are feeling these days is all about that, and our willingness to surrender as we go brings us up to speed in ways that will prove invaluable in the days ahead. You might think of the recent troubles of our time as a form of basic training for willing souls, a period of preparation for what lies beyond. As you can see, a large portion of humanity is glued to their televisions and the cringing embarrassments of banality that is the daily feast in that theater. It is not accidental that the entertainments are as shallow and pandering as they are. They're meant to stupefy, occupy, and control. That's the game. Many others are hooked into headphones to shut out the world and the voices in their heads. Others are in a chronic pornographic fog of repeating images of the same thing over and over with the appearance that each one is different. The list of distractions is too large to really get into. The latest of these is the cell phone, soon to be outfitted with full body scanners. It's all about taking hold of the attention and keeping it focused away from what is coming. Even the false flags like 9/11, the trumped-up terror illusion along with the gratuitous wars, the rigged financial crash, and the coming food shortages are all manufactured distractions from the masterpiece of the approach and the arrival of the light that shines within us all. These things are also warnings and a wake-up call to seek and practice the presence of that light. It can be interpreted either way. It really depends on how you take it, how you are taking it, and whether you are letting it take you or whether you are resisting it. In many cases, people do not know what they are resisting or even that they are resisting. They do know that they are uncomfortable and afraid, and that is something which you, who may be more aware of what's going on or just in general than others, should be aware of, because a lot of your discomfort may be coming from the awareness of this mass discomfort and fear. I don't know what 2012 means. What I do know is that much of what we experience is the result of collective belief. Such a thing can be manipulated, too, through mediums like patriotism, organized religion, and other constructs. I'm not here to denounce the love of one's country or religious assemblage for the purpose of collective worship of what is unknown. These are some of the basic elements of what we call civilization or any culture. They are the stuff of literature and art. They fuel the imagination and they stir the passions of the common soul and some uncommon souls as well. I personally want nothing to do with them or many other things, but that is neither here nor there. I'm not taking you on, I'm not taking you on any rides, but I am taking you on a little travelogue, and you will be the judge of the scenery and the one who draws their own conclusion. I've been tossed around like a leaf in a windstorm a few times of late, and I wasn't sure what to make of it. I will admit to periods of apprehension due to my ignorance of the meaning of what I was going through, and had some concern about my ability to negotiate the terrain or where I would be once I had done so. The point was, and I finally got that, was that it was not my job to negotiate the terrain. My job was to be led and guided and to trust, because everything I was going through was designed to deepen my trust and my awareness of the power that was putting me through it, and actually compose the terrain I was passing over and through, including me. I just wasn't fully aware of it. Might not become fully aware of it, but I need to trust it and be aware of its presence. Shortly after passing through the latest trial, I found that I was changed for the better all around in ways that I had not expected. It affected everything I did, which I noticed, of course, in the process of doing them. Other things had changed as well, and I don't know what, if anything, is permanent. Maybe nothing. I don't have much desire to eat now, though I do eat much smaller amounts and less frequently. If you knew me, you would realize that was strange, because I don't eat more than twice a day most of the time anyway, and never more than twice, and generally often just once. I need far less sleep, and I can't sleep much of the time due to an extremely heightened awareness of my surroundings. Sounds and such other sensory things, but more intensely the patterns inside my mind. You might think this was not an optimum state, but actually it's fine. It's not disturbing, it's just very unusual and interesting. The dreaming is also much more vivid. On the whole, it is a much better result than I've had in the past after coming out of crisis zones. And I think that's because we're all going to be progressed through the stages of what is coming anyway. There's a sort of automatic promotion thing involved here, but only to the degree of our cooperation. Some of us have put a great deal of our time into this, and I have to say I'm a lot happier now that I didn't spend my time accumulating money and property, position, or power. I suppose there are many of us who have been disappointed in where we think our efforts have brought us to, while at the same time so much bad behavior and moronic behavior has been rewarded and celebrated. I hate to be critical of all the noble public servants and great entertainment we've been exposed to. Maybe there's something I've been missing. Well, this isn't, of course, to say there hasn't been some great entertainment. I'll remain quiet on the matter of our public servants, but doesn't it seem like someone keeps adding more and more water as in watering it down? But we haven't been a part of that. We haven't been dining at the top of the world and getting Nobel Prizes for making war on defenseless populations while drumming up phony terror attacks as an excuse to kill these defenseless populations, and put fear into the heart of the people we were supposedly elected to serve. We haven't been stealing the public's money through the banking system, run by Goldman Sachs and the reptile banking families. I'm sure that all of us have committed a few misdemeanors, and some of us maybe have even committed a felony or two by, say, breaking unreasonable laws instead of drinking martinis and bad beer like everyone else. But I think I can say with some confidence that most, if not all of those listening to this broadcast tonight, have not made a living profiting from the misery of their fellows. It might have seemed at times that we took the wrong path. Now, at least for me, it seems that we took the right one. You just never know. You try to do the right thing, and you just never know. Ah, well, where was I? That's a question I've asked myself a time or two before. Now I'm asking myself, where am I? And also on occasion, who am I in this brave new world? I've tried a lot of things in my life in terms of spiritual practices. They went on for periods of time. Some of them went on for years, and some for much shorter periods. I guess they were what I needed at the time, or maybe I was just treading water. Possibly the same water they keep adding to the culture. It's been dawning on me for a while, and I've known about it for much longer. And I've been in and out of it now and then without great results because I didn't stay at it with any consistency. But now that's changed of its own accord, and I'm starting to realize, and it's finally dawned on me, that there's nothing I can do that will grant me greater success than just to court and practice the presence of the divine. In a way, it's like being an ardent lover who is bereft without it. This is precisely because there is nothing I can do, because everything is accomplished by the presence, and we can only be present in it. The divine does everything. We're just along for the ride. As soon as we think we're accomplishing anything, the divine lets us take over, or think we do, just for so long as it takes to get into trouble and realize that we're not the doer. Well, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I hope it's been a useful period of time spent and not too heavy on banality. Not another assault with a pig bladder wearing oversized shoes. It's not as easy doing these things right now for me as it was before because of what I've been talking about tonight. I think it has something to do with familiarization, and I'm working on that. I hope our next engagement is an improvement. So I'll see you next week, if there is one. Until that time, I hope you will take the opportunity to just practice the presence of the divine. Just let yourself sink into the understanding that it's part and parcel of you, and there would be no you without it. Let it handle all of life's concerns and just enjoy the ride. So later on up the road, aloha and aru!
When the sun is rising, God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.